Welcome to the Living the Dream podcast with Curveball. If you believe, you can achieve. Welcome to the Living the Dream with Curveball podcast, a show where I interview guests that teach, motivate, and inspire. Today, I am joined by Karuna, a.k.a. Dr. K. He is a transformative leader and an author. He has a 30-year track record of working with senior leaders through difficult transformations. He's even worked with government officials, and he first picked up this skill by serving in the Navy. So we're going to let him tell his story and all that he does and is doing and whatever else he wants to talk about. So Dr. K, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Curtis. It's my real pleasure to be on the show.
And by the way, listeners, he's coming straight from Singapore. Why don't you start off by telling everybody a little bit about yourself?
Gosh, you know what? I mean, like there's very little and there's also so much to say. Let me start a little by saying that I've had the privilege and I'm full of gratitude for an almost 40-year career. And it started well late teens as I joined the Navy in Singapore. And I've learned a lot along that time. So I've had a few careers. The first 19 years in the Navy, 11 years in the Leadership Center for the military, 4 years or 3 years, short of 3 years in the government, advising government leaders on system change. And now for the last six over years, as an independent consultant transformation coach, and I work with organizations that want to accelerate their transformation. And my specialty, I believe it to be, is my ability to work with leaders and managers to be able to cope and adapt better to the changes that come their way. And that's the kind of the sum up of what I do. I've learned so many things from the 20 over 1,000 leaders that I've worked with over 20 over years, more than 500 business teams, and been to most places that have very interesting lessons for me in the world. And a lot of that stemmed from my two warship tours or warship commands, where I learned some fundamental lessons on leadership and how it is and how it tends not to be. I hope that's a brief enough introduction, Curtis.
Absolutely. So for those who don't know, tell us what a transformation coach is or a transformative leader.
Okay. So it all starts with the need to transform. And for organizations, post-pandemic, it's quite hard to find an organization that believes that it could continue doing pretty much what it was doing before the pandemic. So the starting point is all organizations will need to transform. They are in some form of change work. And it starts at the top with the CEO or the leaders actually working the usual strategy route. And the strategy route would require forecasting our future, building growth frames, looking for projects, maybe seeking alliances. We all know that. That's management school 101. I mean, like, and good leaders do that, right? And good consultants help leaders to do that. The problem really starts when those ideas need to find their way into the internal system. And in management speak, this frame is called the execution. And we've all heard how culture would eat strategy for breakfast. I mean, that's really true out there. The moment these projects or this new work gets into the system, it will start to face resistance. A transformation coach or transformational leadership work would require that someone from the outside, and the people from the outside are better placed for this because there's a lot of fears and anxieties, gets in the organization and works with the leaders to kind of unfreeze, as we call it, the managers to be able to kind of adapt better to the kind of work coming their way, to work their thinking processes to actually help them with their emotions and their tensions, to help them become leaders. So I would sum it all up by saying my work takes me quite a few places, mostly to help managers become leaders, middle managers becoming the leaders they are capable of becoming, Curtis.
Well, how did the Navy shape your approach to change leadership?
I think a warship is always in change. It's a really, really humbling afterthought. When I thought of all those nights I've had, like 11 years at sea, all those nights where, and more than five of it was spent in command of the ships, I just had to go to bed at some point while the ship was out at sea in the middle of the night. And that requires that you believe that the people around you as a crew are sufficiently trained, committed, and careful enough in the work that they do to be able to carry out those in a safe, efficient manner and not put the ship and the rest of the crew at risk. Now, it's actually a hugely humbling task to go to bed believing that, but one cannot not afford to go to bed. And a typical command and control would then demand that. I mean, you stay in command and you stay in control and don't go to sleep. That is not tenable. So the Navy shaped me in a big way for this, to be able to build trust in teams and lead people and work with them and understand them and basically cutting everyone enough slack. I mean, that's called empathy these days. But if you can't care enough for the person to your left and right, I'm not so sure that you're going to make it as a leader, Curtis. Hope this makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. You also served as deputy head of the Center for Leadership. So kind of tell us about that and what that involved and what you did while you were doing that.
So I spent 19 years in the Navy. I joined when I was 19, and of that 19 years, 11 years was at sea. And a lot of that time was also spent training overseas. So I've attended courses and programs in the US, the Europe. I've worked in Australia for 2 years. And it was very heady. But as like any young person in their 30s, I got married and I have two children. And at one point, I actually had to deal with that because I had gone away for a long deployment out to the coast of Africa from Singapore. And 15 days later, after calling home, my wife told me that my 9-year-old daughter had come back from school and started crying just looking at a picture. And I thought that, okay, the time has come to get off the ships. When I got off the ships, I actually toyed with the idea of leaving the Navy and resigning. I had good bosses who actually convinced me otherwise and said, hey, we are opening a new leadership center. We're starting up a leadership center for the military. Why don't you consider going there and being part of it? I wasn't chosen to head it, but I actually eventually became its deputy head and spent 10 years there. And I was very fortunate that my bosses at that time allowed us to experiment with a lot of leadership concepts like action learning, people development, coaching conversations, the use of storytelling and narratives. It was just amazing opportunities to actually work with people on the field. The highlights at that time was, I mean, there was one project that we did where I spent 19 days in the jungles in Brunei with soldiers, you know, just understanding how they operate under stress and how they would actually be managing to gain insights and work that. Another one was the storytelling and narrative project. We went on to work on warships to actually help people tell stories in 3 minutes. I'm still known for that. It's the 2-5-1 storytelling model. It helps you to build and tell a story. I think UNICEF adopted that. So that was really amazing work for like 10 years, only because there was enough latitude given to think ahead and to move a predominantly military culture to a learning culture, Curtis. And I thought we did that quite well. It took 8-9 years, but we got there.
Well, you did some great work with the military, but you also worked in the Prime Minister's office in Singapore. So tell us, if you can, who the Prime Minister was at the time and how you got that gig and what you did while you were doing it.
So, yeah, I mean, again, really fortunate because, you know, as I was approaching retirement age at the age of 50, I actually was out there looking for okay, so what's next? And there was this opportunity that came along because the government of Singapore was actually in a transformative state. And this was way back in 2012 that embarked on the public service transformation. And there was a need to for someone or a team of people to actually promote organizational development at a systems level I applied for a junior position in that team, and I think I was just very lucky to get bumped up to a fairly senior one. And so I spent 3 years in that role from 2014 to 2017, starting to advise government senior government leaders like permanent secretaries and CEOs on how to work and collaborate better interagency and intergovernment. As you know, all governments in the world probably struggle a little with this, but I thought we got that going. Now, what was useful was we actually had major national programs in Singapore. You have the Smart Nation and the Skills Future, and those provided a kind of umbrella for agencies to come together. So, Curtis, my speciality was in bringing 100 to 150 people in a room, senior leaders, and getting them to not just align, but to agree to work with each other in the months ahead. And that's exactly the kind of work that I did. And I was trusted to do that. And at that point, I actually had an opportunity to do some work with the Brunei government. And that was precisely what happened with the formation of one of their agencies. And I'm quite proud of the fact that some small acknowledgement was given for the work that I was privileged enough to be trusted to do. So that was what I did over that 3 years just before going independent now.
Well, you also teach postgraduate programs, and you're doing a lot to help develop the next generation of leaders to come. So tell us about your experience and how you enjoy doing that as well.
So I've had a, thank you for that question. So along the way, I picked up two adjunct faculty stints, both in universities in Singapore. In 2008, 2009, while I was beginning my PhD journey, I actually helped out as an external faculty on the master's program for knowledge management. And I'd already got a master's in knowledge management by then. My topic was on knowledge creation. I firmly believe that everyone was capable of creating knowledge that would be of some use to themselves and the organization. And that went on for, I think, two semesters, two tours. But later on at 28, just before the COVID, 2018, 2019, I accepted an invitation in the local university to carry the module on managing change. And that was an interesting module because you actually can't take an academic slant to it any longer, because part-time master's students would actually be looking for some practitioner experience. I actually, unfortunately, had to leave that because my work commitments actually got the better of me. And I started having to travel just before the COVID. And I think the respectful thing, I believe, at that point was to kind of back down a little. But having said that, actually now post-COVID, as travel has opened up, I'm starting to plan for seminars in the region to actually talk to as many people who want to listen in webinars on topics like leadership and how one can actually activate switches in themselves to actually become a better version of themselves quite quickly, Curtis. So I think teaching and sharing and learning has been a lifelong endeavor, and I believe most of us have that, Curtis.
Well, talk about some of the positive impacts that you've seen in your approach to coaching and you know working with all the senior leaders that you've worked with.
That's just amazing when I receive a acknowledgement months or years later that one thing that I must have said has actually changed a person's perspective completely. And I'm just humbled by that, because I didn't set out to pitch or sell anything other than simply be the, or seek to be some part of the inner voice of leaders and managers who are truly capable of great work. So from time to time, I have a quiet smile when I get a message or I get a short email or I get a reference from someone saying, hey, you know what? They said, come talk to you. That's one aspect of it. The other part of me, completely, Curtis, stays open to people I've had paid coaching hours with and transformative work with, And I still have a steady stream of people who actually ask to meet for a cup of coffee or lunches. And I mean, I know where that's going, and they just want to ask a little bit more, and that's completely fine. That's the kind of impact we all can have to make this world a slightly better place from what we're seeing it now. I hope that helps.
Absolutely. And speaking of making the world a better place, you also work with some charitable organizations. So to talk about your charity work, and maybe if you'd like some of the charities that your favorite charities that you've worked with.
I waive all professional fees when requested to support or participate with a charitable organization. I mean, I just had a conversation 2 nights ago, and I've just put myself out there. I mean, I know I'm busy enough, but I believe that people who actually do or work in charities actually give a big part of themselves, and sometimes they might need a little bit of help kind of figuring things out and pulling things together. And a lot of it is actually interpersonal work. So I put myself out there, but I'm very excited to also share that we're actually taking this out into the ASEAN region. And that means countries like Laos, Cambodia, Philippines, Thailand, especially Indonesia, maybe some part of Malaysia, and this part of the world. We're starting to see a very difficult trend of very young people seeking to want to be successful and not having the chances that they could get because the consultants are expensive, leadership programs are expensive, there's no budgets in small organizations for things like this. But we are starting to do some work there, and a lot of that is actually baseline profit or non-profit. So my larger calling in the next couple of years will be concentrated in helping 1 million or so executives actually find their feet a lot faster, Curtis.
So tell us about your book. Tell us why you decided to write it. Tell us what listeners can expect when they read it and where they can get it from.
The very simple motivation for that was to make sure I honored the amazing 19 years I enjoyed in the Navy, and with the lessons I learned, and how those lessons would actually translate into real leadership work for me and for others out there in the open. I think it's just about 100 pages, but it summarizes quite aptly for me what I truly believe to be important lessons that stem from the complexities inherent in the naval traditions and in the sea. For example, you can't draw lines on water. You just have to start trusting people. You need to start sleeping. You need to start thinking. You don't need to micromanage, but the sea is a very harsh assessor of leadership. And in my book, it's peppered with examples of massive leadership failures at sea, unfortunately resulting in major catastrophes through the ages. So I've said a little bit about that, translated my journey, but because it needed to be bite-sized, I've actually peppered the chapters very briefly with some tips and tricks as to how to become a little bit more tuned to leadership from a place of power or position or manager. So that's what the book is, and it's actually navigating the seas of change. And it was quite apt because I think post-pandemic, a lot of us are starting to realize that we just need to deal with change, cope with it, and adapt to it a lot better, and not wonder why it hit us in such a way. I hope that this is making sense, that is.
It absolutely is. So tell us about any current or upcoming projects that KR Consultant is working on that we need to know about.
Thank you for this question. I mean, I've just sat up in my chair because, this is, I just said something a little earlier on to say that I see as part of the calling I have now, this desire to want to connect with young people who are greatly, and by young people, I mean people who have like spent like 5, maybe 10 years in the workforce. They're probably in their early 30s. They have settled down for the most part or thinking of settling down. And they are probably struggling with, well, they're probably good managers to some point because they're probably legit there, but I think a lot of the work is becoming a little bit more complex, and for some more complex. And basically, what we need to do is help them lead people a little more instead of just managing the work. So how do you get to the million? It's been something that my team has been pondering about, and I think the pandemic gave us a breakthrough because consulting took a bit of a hit, and all of us were cooped up at home. And I started to build a knowledge architecture to mine all the top practices in leadership, and we started developing an app. And this app, cloud-based, it's almost complete, and it's launching the second half of the year as a project. It's called Change Leader, and a simple philosophy is every manager or supervisor is a capable adaptive team leader, and we guarantee that in 8 months. Now, it breaks or it disrupts the consulting industry by breaking down the cost. So the unique selling point to that, it is just one third of traditional consulting costs, but it is three times more effective. And we propose to measure that with HR analytics. Now, all this sounds very, very glamorous and transformational, but at the heart of it all is the larger purpose of getting to a million young people in the ASEAN region who would gladly take, we believe, the opportunity to shift from manager to leader, Curtis. So I'm really excited about this. We have tested the product, and we're going out there in the second half of this year to gently lay it down into spaces where we think people would appreciate it in this region.
Well, congratulations on that, most definitely. So the listeners can keep up with everything that you guys are up to, throw out your contact information, any websites, or how can we keep up with you?
Totally. It's the product would be linked out to the website, thechangeleader.org. So it's the change leader. There are no spaces in between .org, but that's on the product and the platform, the app that's going out. But if you want to learn a little bit more about the work we do, it's krk.sg. I'll say that again, krk.sg. And you can drop me a line at Karuna, KARUNA, at krk.sg. I'll be more than happy to take questions and point you in any which way I think you would benefit. And if you trust me to do that, I'll be happily doing that. So thanks, Curtis.
All right, we'll close us out with some final thoughts. Maybe if that was something that I forgot to talk about that you would like to touch on, or just any final thoughts you have for the listeners.
Yeah, thank you for this. I mean, I get asked this quite often, and with the one or two things, I would like for all of us to think a little bit more about the simplicity of respect. And respect is something that I've learned through the years, and I now seek and see that in people. Without respect, there's probably very little chance of empathy. And without empathy, there's even lesser chance of humility. And that's where I think we all need to start working ourselves a little bit more into. So that's what I want to say, that is sum this up.
All right, Dr. K sharing his expertise. If you know of any future leaders or in any newer generation of leaders or just any leaders, period, you want to be a leader yourself, please follow, rate, review, share this episode to as many people as possible. We definitely need to keep our leaders going and our leaders strong, and Dr. K definitely has the expertise and knows how to do that. You have any topic suggestions or guest suggestions, cjackson102@cox.net. As always, thank you for listening to the show, and please tell a friend. Dr. K, thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure, Curtis, and looking forward to helping the world become a little better.
For more information on the Living the Dream podcast, visit www.djcurveball.com. Until next time, stay focused on living the dream.